And thanks for being with us today. Thanks to everybody who's made a contribution in this, our second day of the Spring Pledge Drive. Thanks for being with us for midday. A couple of program notes. We are going to host a Democratic candidates debate for the folks running for Baltimore City Council president here on midday on April 29th. And next week, we will continue our series of conversations with the candidates with Delegate Joe Vogel, one of the candidates in the Democratic primary for the House of Representatives in the 6th District. You can check out all of my conversations with the candidates on the WYPR website, including the candidates that were featuring in web-only interviews for various offices. By the time early voting begins on May 2nd, we will have posted 27 interviews with candidates for Baltimore Mayor, Baltimore City Council President, the House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate. And today on Midday, it's the Midday on the Arts program. A little later, I'll speak with an organist from England who's performed at some historic occasions at Westminster Abbey, a scholar from Johns Hopkins who's conducting a census to better understand the local music scene, and our good friend J. Wynn Russick, who has a review of the new show at Baltimore Center Stage. But we begin with Manuel Barrueco, an internationally acclaimed Grammy-nominated classical guitarist who was born in Cuba. He's concertized around the world, and he's called Baltimore home for many years. Here he is playing what is probably the most popular guitar concerto in the repertoire, the Concerto de Aranjuez by Spanish composer Joaquin Rodrigo. Manuel Barrueco is celebrating 50 years of performing in a concert Sunday afternoon at Towson University. He joins me here in Studio A. It's so great to see you.
It's very nice to be here with you again. Thank you for having me.
50 years. What an incredible run.
Yeah. Are you rubbing it in?
Do you remember your first concert? You know, your first professional engagement?
Actually, it depends. If it is a recital, just myself, yes. That was already when I was in the U.S. and was still a student at Peabody. But as a kid in Cuba, I played in many concerts, sometimes in groups, but not really. But the first full recital that I did was in a college in Virginia. Then my second was actually the graduation recital at Peabody. And the third was my debut in Carnegie Hall.
Yeah. It was the third time you played show.
Wow. Yeah.
Carnegie Hall, you kind of started at the top.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
And stayed there.
Well, I don't know. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing accomplishment, too. You were how old when you emigrated from Cuba, you and your family?
I was 14, almost 15.
Yeah, and then you were here because you sought political asylum.
Yeah,
right?
we came as refugees. We were refugees. I mean, at that time, they had these flights, U.S. sponsored flights called the Freedom Flights, and that was it. So when we were given permission to leave after a number of years, I guess my family just had to hand everything to the government. And then we came with nothing. We were refugees.
Yeah, but you started playing guitar in Cuba when you were even younger than 14. How old were you when you started?
I was 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you landed at Peabody soon thereafter.
Well, yeah, we came. We were in Miami for less than a year. Then we moved to New Jersey. And we were living in New Jersey when I came to study here at Peabody. And, you know, so I graduated. I went to New York for a while, and then after some years, I came back here again.
Yeah. Do you prepare for a concert differently now that you're obviously much more seasoned and much more experienced playing, you know, in public? Do you think you prepare in a different way than you did when you were in your 20s?
Yeah, and actually, the truth is, I'm still trying to figure out how to do it. You know,
of course, yeah, lifelong learner, right?
It is, but you know, with the years, I mean, the body responds differently, and the mind responds differently as well. So, one needs to adapt.
Yeah. And do you practice differently?
I'm actually practicing more than ever before, which is unusual for, you know, and I enjoy it more. I used to hate practicing. I thought I was missing something out, you know, sort of in the room practicing. Now I realize I'm not missing anything, so.
Not all that much going on out here in the real world, is there? Of course, you know, you are also beloved as a teacher and as a mentor for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of guitarists, some of whom have themselves, you know, reached great international acclaim. Yeah. So, you know, you have to coach them on how to practice. And I wonder how you coach yourself. So it's interesting. So you're actually practicing more. And again, do you approach that endeavor with a very different frame of mind than you did when you were little, when you were younger and you hated it?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, hopefully one learns with time and hopefully one knows better. Hopefully I know better now what I'm doing, you know, than I did back then.
Let's listen to another little clip from the Concerto de Aranjuez. This is a recording you did a while ago with Plácido Domingo, who's, of course, known as an opera tenor and then later a baritone, but also a conductor. So, Manuel, some of the longtime listeners of the show know that I actually entered college as a classical guitar major.
Yeah, remember
and
that.
You and I have talked about that. Yeah. I can tell you from experience, that's really hard to do, what we just heard you play. I mean, how does one take those technical challenges and then turn them into expressive, beautiful phrases of communicative art? That's a real gift.
Yeah. I think one needs to have a vision of how we want the piece to sound. So we need to live with it, and we need to look at it and think about it, and also I think it's also very helpful to listen to great musicians of all kinds of music. May I tell you about this recording?
Sure, this is Plácido Domingo,
right,
the conductor. Yeah,
we had never met, so we met in the studios. It was the Air Studios in London. So, you know, and so I was expecting like trumpets and red carpet, and here comes in, but he was there already, you know, working. And as I said, it was the Air Studios. So those are the studios of George Martin, the Beatles.
The Beatles, producer, right?
You know, so he was there. But just working with Domingo was really great because first of all, I was starstruck, and he's a great musician. But also because of the way in which he conducted, you could hear him singing. I don't mean literally singing. It's sort of like he was singing through the orchestra. So it was really, really one of the highlights, you know, of my life.
Yeah, of course, all the great instrumentalists, whether it's guitarists, violinists, pianists, they want to sing when they play. I mean, not literally sing, but they want to make their instruments sing.
Yeah.
And you, the diversity of the repertoire that you play, you've done records with, you know, pop musicians, Al Di Meola, people like that. You did a Beatles record yourself.
I did.
And so your musical tastes are varied.
Yeah, but I like all kinds of music. I think music is a language. Hopefully, through music we can express things that we can't with words. And I think all music, you know, communicates feelings of a culture, of a time. And so the secret is to find it, to hear that, what the music is saying.
And you've done a lot of contemporary music. Not everybody does that. I mean, you know, you've had pieces commissioned for you. You worked with the great Japanese composer Toro Takemitsu, and other great contemporary people. Why is that a special, you know, focus for you?
Well, first of all, because it's interesting. I love the music, but I think it's also a necessity to expand our horizons and to do new things and to work with composers. And that particular experience with Takemitsu, we did the premiere of his piece To the Edge of Dream with the Boston Symphony in Osawa, and that experience with Takemitsu there is the other highlight of my life musically, the experience with Domingo and Takemitsu. There were others, but those stand out.
Yeah. And what are you going to play on Sunday afternoon? How have you chosen a program to celebrate such a wonderful occasion?
Yeah, well, I'm playing Bach. I play Bach a lot. I love Bach, and more and more. And so the first half is some small pieces from the Italian Renaissance, then the suite by Bach, and a piece by the classical period guitar composer Fernando Sor. The second half begins with with some pieces by the American composer Lou Harrison, who, even though he was very academic at one point and even studied with Schoenberg, these are pieces that were influenced by the time that he spent in Indochina, so they're charming. And then the last two pieces are two Spanish pieces. One is Capricho Árabe by Tárrega, one of the most famous, and then Sonata by Joaquín Turina.
And so walk me through the day of the concert. The concert starts at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
How do you spend your morning? How do you warm up? How do you prepare yourself to walk on that stage at Towson University at 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
I just try to relax and rest during the day, especially if it's 3 o'clock, because it's not like it's in the evening. So, and I just try to relax, to stay focused. You know, I may even listen to some music that I may find inspiring, and then I go to it. Try to stay relaxed. I think the important moment is right before you walk out there to the stage. How are you feeling at the time? And I try to make sure that I'm into the music. I'm thinking about the music. So to me, that's the crucial moment.
And, of course, you are, as I mentioned, just renowned as a teacher, as a mentor. You've been teaching at Peabody for I don't know how many years now. What is your advice to young guitarists who not only want to play and play beautifully, but have a career, being able to concertize as you've been able to do? And, of course, in your career, you've played all of the big concert halls in the world. You've played with many of the great orchestras. You've played solo recitals. You've played orchestral engagements. What do you say to those gifted young people that come to Peabody just to work with you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I love working with them because it gives me a chance to talk about what's behind the scenes and also to help them. I think, my job is to give them good information, and their job is to practice it and to apply it and to do a good job with it. So I encourage them to try to do the best, work that they can do, to listen to great musicians, to try to become the best musicians that they can become, to try to understand the instrument. That's my job with them. And then they have to let themselves be known, so they need to look for opportunities, to play for people.
Yeah, well, of course, you and your wife, Asgador, started the Baltimore Classical Guitar Society. You hold competitions, you have recitals, and we've had many of the people appearing on that series come here to Midday to play, including you, come here to play for us live in the studio, which is always a treat. So congratulations, 50 years. It's a wonderful, wonderful milestone, and folks are really going to have a wonderful time Sunday afternoon. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you for your support of the Baltimore Classic Guitar Society as well.
This is Baltimore's NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.